to share with you all how we built a decentralized wireless internet service provider in rural Oregon. So this is Klatskanai. I've lived here for about 13 years. It's a kind of a typical rural community. It has a sparse population, some challenging geography, large Douglas fir trees, and kind of these hills and mountains. And some folks that are working class and lower income. And like many rural areas, it also suffers from lots of folks that don't have very good access. I mean, it's very typical for us to see people in our community with a megabit per second of internet or no access at all because they have satellite, or cost is a barrier because it's too expensive. But there is actually other internet service providers in this area that have tried to connect people and serve these folks and not been very successful. And also, in fact, about 5 years ago, there was $1 million USDA rural grant to serve a mix of wireless and fiber infrastructure to some of the outlying areas that also suffer from many things that we see are typical with granting programs. There wasn't a lot of accountability. We're not really sure if they actually did, in fact, serve those homes that they had promised to do. And one of the big key things is there's no sustainability. So the money was dropped into the community, and then as the wireless infrastructure aged, the internet service provider had no incentive to continue to put money and resources back into that connection. And this also isn't the whole story. It's not just that these folks have no internet access. In fact, along kind of that main corridor through town, the main highway, internet access is actually very good. You can get some kind of megabits per second and as fiber, and it's affordable. But anything beyond that one kind of narrow corridor, there's no ability to get that internet access to those folks in the outlying areas. But there is a better way. Instead of one company owning all of the infrastructure of the network, Althea's software lets us leverage the existing homes and businesses in an efficient way and build a decentralized network where neighbors can pay each other for bandwidth. And this is accomplished by people in the community, you know, people that have their homes or their businesses or a farm. They host some hardware, and that might look like an antenna or some cables, and then they get paid automatically with the software to host this. And here's an example of what that looks like right here. So that top antenna is connected to like a high-speed fiber backhaul in the community. And then that bottom antenna, the long skinny sector antenna, is connected to his neighbors. And then both of those cables route to the Althea router in his house that provides his internet access, does all the routing and the billing automatically. And this creates, you know, sort of a viral incentive for a kind of network growth that happens automatically. In fact, Matt will, like, about once a week take a bottle of wine to his neighbor's house and see if they want to get connected to the internet. it's pretty effective, too. He's done a pretty good job. And this is sort of curated with a kind of a local group of folks that help if there's problems or they want to help get people installed, that kind of thing. And in this sort of agile configuration lets us like lower the build-out cost. So instead of that one central antenna that you can only get the take rate or that you can only get the people within that viewshed of that central antenna, we're able to sort of configure this network in a really agile and dynamic way. And this also creates more equitable governance. So here is kind of an idea of what the internet looks like today, right? So you have like discrete connections with proprietary hardware from each of the internet service providers in your area. And you know, legacy internet users pay high prices for slow speeds because the last mile networks are siloed by this ownership and they have a really long lock-in. But here's an Althea network. It creates like one open network made up of different owners, and the network uses all these links available to, you know, dynamically switch between different internet service providers using different Althea's internet service providers, using all the links available, using the best speeds, and offering having better, cheaper internet for everyone. So here's a map of the Klatskanai network, so you can kind of see. So Klatskanai, we set up an Althea network, and there's about 40 users on there right now, and you can see that sort of agile and different ownership, decentralized ownership that we have here. Each of these different colors is a different relay who is forwarding bandwidth to their neighbors. And using their own home to put some antenna hardware on, there's another example there, to forward bandwidth to their neighbors. And one of the kind of exciting things about Althea is that we use a price-aware version of our routing protocol. And so what that does, that instead of only selecting the best routes based on the total round trip time, we're also taking the cost into effect. And so that makes sort of an automatically competitive link. So not only are people incentivized to set up new links and add more capacity, as if those get too expensive, then people are incentivized to set up competitive links. And we can encrypt the whole network with WireGuard and using like what we call the exit node, which is just like a VPN or server at a data center. And that server also, that exit node also verifies all the routes and the prices that are advertised as well. And this is done by the neighbors paying for the bandwidth per gigabyte, with Ethereum or XDAI. So let's meet Linda. So Linda's another one of our relays here. She's the flower farmer, and she's that relay you saw in green there on that previous slide, who's kind of out in the valley area. Very difficult to reach area otherwise, and this is one of the areas that had really, really poor access before. And so she has their antenna here. Again, has an incoming connection at the top. Those two connections down below those two antennas route to her neighbors, and her router, her Althea router inside the house, does all the routing and the billing, and also provides her Wi-Fi access in her home or connection automatically. So for her, she just gets her internet, and her cost is offset from the like about six connections that she has that are connected to her. And you can see, this is kind of like an EtherScan, it's kind of blurry, but you can see the connections going out for her usage and coming in from her connected neighbors. And here's some of Linda's connected neighbors. So this is also a really great case too. This is Mrs. Clark here, and he's up on the hill from Linda, and so he actually is another hop and then serves way out to the very far reaches of the valley there, and a really hard, very, very difficult to get area that we would not be able to get otherwise. And you know, it's an example of one of the farmers. And then this antenna at the top, I don't have a picture of her, but this is an antenna that is on Beatrice's house, and this is one of these really like exciting stories about how this technology really makes an impact on our communities. Beatrice had no internet for 4 years prior to this because of cost, and you know, she's about 16, I think, or something. So her and her like four or five siblings were staying late after school or going to the library to use the internet to do their work. And with her parents had also worked, you know, they worked a couple jobs, and so the family just never saw each other. This was really, you know, just impacting their quality of life. So she was able to get connected to her neighbor. Linda told her about it, and they got connected, and she's able to, you know, pay for what she uses, and it's affordable, and it's, you know, 40, 50 megabits a second instead of, you know, the only other alternative is like, you know, a megabit per second. So when we, you know, I would see her the day that we set it up, she came out holding her laptop just saying, you know, this is the best day ever. And I think it really is amazing to see those values in place. And another thing that I think is kind of interesting is that when we first set this project up, we sold my neighbors and my community members on faster internet, cheaper internet, those just, you know, really simple value propositions. But as the network has evolved and we've added more people, I start to hear people talk about ownership and choice and some of these other ideals that, you know, we envision with decentralized networks. So this is an example of like, you know, when we have multiple connections, the sort of redundancy and resiliency that we get with these networks as well. So both of these antennas are connected to different relays. It's actually going to be kind of down in that bottom right-hand corner there. The routing protocol will select the route on a second-by-second basis based on the round-trip time and the overall cost. So it also, if one of the relays were to go down in this case, everything else would route back through the other relay. So right now, people are using Ethereum to pay for their internet. They buy Ethereum on a Coinbase app right now, or they could buy it with anything, but using a debit card. And then they send it to their router wallet by scanning a QR code on their router. And the router dashboard then also gives them their billing and their usage information to keep up to date on that. And then when the balance is low, they get a text message. So it's really pretty simple onboarding process for folks. Pretty easy to understand the values there. One of the new things that we just recently introduced too is, which is pretty exciting, is that people buy Ethereum and send Ethereum to their router wallet, but we have a new bridge, so then it bridges to XDAI to stabilize out, and that's all just done seamlessly in the router. And then the payment settles on the blockchain when the gas is 5% of the total transaction. So you'll see sometimes in high gas times that they won't settle for an hour or two or something. So I did want to just touch briefly as well on the fact that these are actual community members that have no experience with Ethereum or cryptocurrency prior to having to use it to pay for their internet. it's pretty exciting stuff. And actually, about a third of my network is senior citizens. it's really exciting. And I have found a couple of things. One is if we spend a little bit of time during that onboarding process on a one-on-one basis, it goes pretty smoothly. And then after that, just sort of initial, maybe even just 10 or 15 minutes of one-on-one time, folks are able to use that on an ongoing way. A couple of other things I've noticed too is that we use the terms digital currency instead of crypto, and a payment app instead of an exchange. And even just sort of simplifying out those two key terms has led to, I think, a lot less friction than we normally would have seen. So we do also recognize, though, that at this point, networks aren't able to necessarily go totally autonomously. People do have customer support questions, and they might need help with things. So we have what we call organizers, and this is just people within their local community that set up some sort of legal entity. It can be like an LLC. We have that in one of our networks, or a nonprofit, or cooperative in a couple of them. The one in Kaskanai is a member-owned cooperative. So these local people help us all support the network, but they're also incentivized as well. So they're incentivized with a monthly prorated subscription fee, which is also automatically debited from the router seamlessly for the end user. So they can partner with other people to set up the relays and the gateways and the other pieces of hardware in the network, but still receive a separate incentive. So beyond Oregon, beyond the rural environment, we're really excited to see some of these new networks coming on board here very, very, very soon. This is the Tacoma Cooperative Network. They're in an urban area south of Seattle, Washington, and they should be launching here within the next 60 days. We took them through what we call our Althea Hits program. So that's basically a pre-registration site, and if any of you are familiar with the broadband community at all, there's a thing called Fiberhood. Google did it, where you kind of go into an area and get people to pre-register and kind of front load that user acquisition. And this worked really well. So they started out in about June with their pre-registration site, some marketing materials and support from us, and they have about 80 people now pre-registered, and they're ready to go, getting close to their 100 threshold by the time they actually build out. And we have a couple more networks as well, one in the Napa area of California, and in Abuja, Nigeria, that will be starting as well, and more people that are now getting onboarded to the beginning part of this process. We find it takes about, especially since it takes a while to get that wholesale fiber connection, it takes people between like 4 and 6 months to go from their pre-registration site to shovel in the dirt. So just to kind of surmise, Althea networks are owned and run by the community they serve, which is another sort of, I think, really exciting value proposition, is that the revenue and the economic potential of the network is kept in that community. Instead of someone coming to the area and extracting that economic benefit, it stays there local in the community, it is shared amongst the community members. It has that built-in competition, is the price aware routing protocol, it's going to always incentivize people to set up automatic competition. It creates that automatic sustainability. So as the Class NI network continues to expand, there will always be that incentive to add for more bandwidth because it is pay for usage. You always want to allow to have people use more, right, and add in more economic benefit. And it's like a very true peer-to-peer statement, that, you know, neighbors pay neighbors for bandwidth. Althea enables communities to set up decentralized networks, creating faster and cheaper internet for everyone. Thank you. And I thought, if you want, we could do some questions if there's time. Anybody want to do questions? Okay. I don't have a. You just have to. You know, just talk.
How did you convince the people in the first place to join your network? So in the end, how? Because in the end, it's like a new. It's also an investment for them, no? Or don't they have any initial costs when they need to install their antennas?
So the question was, how do you convince people to invest the hardware? So if you're talking about in the case of these relays we saw with the antennas, there's a very easy ROI. So like Linda's making $100 every couple of months. So it was pretty easy to compute with 6 users. So as she has 4 users, you can look at what that is per month. And I think she has about, you know, $600 or $700 worth of antenna equipment on her place. So organizers kind of help interface with relays and let them know about what they can expect in terms of cost for the equipment and what they can expect for revenue. Was that your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
The router is a one-time fee. The router hardware is a one-time fee.
So different networks set this up differently. So the Oakville network, it's a higher income area, so they pay up front for the equipment and the installation. Whereas in like the network in the Tacoma Cooperative Network, it's a lower income area, so the organizers are subsidizing some of that cost as well. And I have a router here too, so if anybody wants to find me later, you can poke at the dashboard a little bit. I think you've been asking for a while, yeah.
Sorry if you already said it, I didn't quite catch it. Like legal issues with the ISPs, is this basically like one contract for one consumer and then they're sharing it? How are you communicating with a backbone owner, and would there be any potential like friction there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when we set these networks up, we bring in a wholesale connection. That's the resellable connection, and we call that the gateway, right? So someone in the network is actually buying resellable backhaul. Direct internet access or transfer or something that's resellable, right? And then from that anchor point, then all the relays can resolve that, no problem. No one at the Althea network's gonna ask about that. As far as legal issues in the United States, it's very, very simple for ISPs. You just have to fill out a form 477, which they've indicated to us that we do, because whoever's doing the exit node will have that responsibility.
You mean someone, you say someone, do you mean one of the neighbors? Has that subscription,
so that can be a neighbor, but it's what we call the gateway location. And so it basically works like a relay. They get the wholesale fiber backhaul and they broadcast that out. Because that wholesale connection is very expensive though, and it's sold on a contract. So that is typically a business person that comes in and does that, because it's a little bit longer ROI, a little bit more money, that kind of thing.
You were citing protocol or some law in the U.S. I'm not familiar with what it is. So what does it mean? Actually, does it mean that the person writing the exit node is responsible for the content or the communications of the community. So how are the legal issues, but like, have there been any episodes of somebody downloading something and somebody getting in trouble?
Not yet, and I'm sure there will be, but yeah, that's the responsibility. And this, for the network we have here, Alfie is running the exit node for that. And the vision is the user will have many different exit nodes that they could choose from. But yeah, and that's the point in the internet service provider where your data is carried out to the rest of the internet. So that's always going to be the one who is responsible for that. And we know what the current telecoms are doing there.
What does the FCC think of, I mean, obviously not at this level, right, very basic level. The FCC regulates sort of bandwidth in airwaves. Setting up microwave transmitters for unidirectional by the site, right? So I was just wondering, have you run into any problems with that? Yeah, I mean, it's local jurisdictions, I don't care, but a larger city might have some.
So we operate in the unlicensed spectrum of 5 gigahertz, so we're compliant there. In the Tacoma Cooperative Network, we'll be using a mixture of 5 gigahertz, unlicensed spectrum, and 60 gigahertz, which is the millimeter E-band. So we'll be able to push out even higher speeds. But that's all also unlicensed, so you know, free to use within power limits, which the antennas are already configured in that way.
So in remote areas, incentives are kind of clear because you don't have much options. But for example, in Hilltop, the community talked about, what's the incentives that people have to go to the trouble to join the network?
Yeah, well, Hilltop is urban. I think there's about 12,000 people in the neighborhood, just a few blocks, and it's faster than the current offerings. It's going to be less expensive, and it's community run instead of, you know, the incumbent providers. We've already got 80 people to sign up to start. So.
So, do you like find the neighborhoods that make sense to approach, and then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do guide some folks. People usually just come to us and say, "Hey, I want to run an Althea network in my neighborhood." It's great. Let's look at what we do find is that, you know, everybody's angry with big telecom, but that anger isn't enough to get people to switch. Right? It's like you have a maybe 1-3% take rate based just on people's incumbent anger. But yeah, and really, in order to be viable, we do also, you know, work with people and look at their market fit and, you know, say, hey, are you going to be able to have traction here? But, you know, what I will say, when we go into these neighborhoods, and I've been to the Hilltop neighborhood and worked with the organizers there, everyone wants to be a relay. They want to know how they can make money with their, you know, by running out of space on the roof.
Sorry.
I don't remember who's first. I'm so sorry.
I missed the talk, so maybe the beginning of the talk maybe answered, but how do you adhere yourself? How do you provide for yourself? Do you charge the communities you're working with, or do you have to rely on kind of, you know, benevolent donors that help you grow? And my question is, if we are able to allocate money and we want to help you kickstart because we see the interest, you know, how can we work together in a way that, you know, we can drive some of the wealth we control towards you, while at the same time getting to see what you're doing? If you've got a practical domain.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. So
without having to go into ICO type or any token, that's fine.
Yeah, so we're not doing a public sale of the token. Like I said, we always want our end users to be able to use something easy to get like Ethereum and something stable like DAI. So that's the, we don't want people that are subscribing to have any kind of...
But yourself.
Yeah. So the eventual plan, what we're working on now, is that right now, as these transactions take place, 5% goes to Ethereum miners, right? So our plan is that we are going to bridge to an Althea DAI and then an Althea token that is built on Cosmos. And then the Althea token holders will be able to collect 5% of the of the transaction fees in the network. So as the network grows, then we get the 5%. So
you guys have a reserve of Althea tokens. So your business model is the valuation of the token with the network effect.
Correct.
If you're sitting on something.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a maximum number of relays that can connect to one gateway without
performance issues, or is there an actual business maybe?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. So yes, but Althea itself runs on that consumer router in the people's house. So whatever antennas you connect to that, it's agnostic to it. So you saw a lot of Ubiquiti gear here. The Tacoma Community Cooperative Network is going to be like Microtech, 60 gigahertz, that kind of thing. And so each one of those antennas has limitations based on the antenna hardware. So the hardware that you saw there, the big sectors, you know, they can take about 30 people without performance, and the smaller ones, the little skinny guy, you know, less than 10. So but it's agnostic. So whatever you want to use with it, you could use TV white spaces and those antennas. You can use license, buy sales equipment. So it doesn't matter. You can put fiber between you and an Althea node as well, relay that way.
Do you provide software or hardware and software?
Yeah, so I have since this is a consumer router, available online. Our software is open WRT based, it's open source, and you just flash it onto the router itself. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it still on Raspberry Pis?
We do still best effort support Raspberry Pi. Yeah. one thing about Raspberry Pi is by the time you get the case and you get the Wi-Fi and get everything else, then you're at, this is $70 on Amazon. So, yeah. All right, well, thank you very, very much. This has been fun. Thank you.